I know you guys have heard all of this before, and I don't want to insult anybody about what your personal daily routine is or how you get up in the morning or how your devotions are or your meditation or anything, but I'm kind of speaking to me. There are times, I mean, I love Jesus and everything, but there are times where you would think your love for the Lord is enough to inspire you to spend time with Him. You know, I think I was sharing with Tim last night, there are times where I get up in the morning, I just want to be alone with the Lord, and things creep in, things start to happen, and I'm this media junkie, I want to know what's going on in the world with news, I want to know if Jerusalem is, you know, getting nuked or whatever's going on out there, and I'm tempted to get away from it. But if you guys would turn to Joshua chapter 1, if you got your Bible handy, if not, it's okay, it's just a couple of verses, we should pray too. Just simple stuff. I think that being a pastor, one of the things, we like to find stuff that we think is new to everybody. You know, I remember my pastor, he'd get that look on his face like, listen to this. And he'd just grab anybody in the hall. Listen, look what the Lord showed me. And he'd be really excited about some new thing that you never saw before. And he'd just share it with anybody. But he really loved doing it in front of everybody. But the main thing I think a pastor does is he's constantly sharing things everybody already knows. So really what he's doing is reminding them. So this is a reminder, really, Joshua chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask you to open our ears and our hearts. Lord, we want you to minister to us. So important for our spiritual growth that we spend time with you. And Lord, I pray that it's completely motivated by loving you. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us in your word things we've never seen, but remind us of the things we should know and we should keep in our hearts. Give us understanding according to your word. Father, manifest yourself to us on the pages of this book, and I pray that we approach this book that way, looking for you, looking for more of you, looking for a greater understanding of you, and looking for you to speak to us. May we approach the word that way every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in Joshua chapter 1, here it says, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And I find it like we're apt to be busy about everything except the things that concern our spiritual progress so often. At the end of maybe a profitless day, we sit down and we grab our Bible and we're like, okay, I'm going to cram in some fellowship with the Lord at the very end of the day. And, you know, we read a few verses and it does us good for about 3 seconds. But here we are going to bed, and I believe we've got to take time to be diligent, and you can't let the excuses creep in. Look, you guys got the same 24 hours that I do, and I'm not saying I'm good at this. I'm just saying that if anybody's capable of doing it, then anybody else is capable of doing it. We all have 24 hours. How important is it? And here's the thing, how much time, and I don't want you to answer this, but think about it and realize that I have to think about this too before I speak it. How much time are you spending watching TV? How much time are you spending on the computer? And is it necessary? Is it edifying? Maybe you think you're doing a Christian thing. I'm watching a Christian station. I'm on a Christian channel on the internet, whatever it is. Is it teaching you the word? Or is it a Christian guy speaking about some other topic or whatever it might be? How much time are you watching TV? How much time are you spending on the computer? How much time are you listening to the radio? And is any of that time teaching you the word? How much time do you dedicate to meditate? Think about that. And here's Joshua being told, saying that if I meditate on the word, I'm going to be prosperous and have good success. That doesn't mean you're going to be rich and wealthy and successful in the business world and all that other stuff. It means you're going to have success and prosperity in God's eyes. And as you guys know, God's will is the best thing to be in. So meditation isn't like a pebble in a brook letting all the waters flow over you, you know, like maybe the world might think. That's just daydreaming. Meditation, I think, is the most intense spiritual act where you're actually sitting down and really thinking and meditating and praying over what you read. Lord, what does this mean for me? And how do I apply this to my life? And what I find myself doing is I ask the Lord a lot of questions. And I say, Lord, would you speak to me through your word? Could you answer the questions for me as I read your word? And I approach the word praying. And he doesn't always answer the questions, but there are times where He out loud almost answers the question. And it takes some meditation. And I think meditation will bring every part of your body and mind into focus on Him. You know, if you really spend some time doing this. To be spiritual by effort, I think, really take effort to be spiritual is not a good thing. I think what you're advanced in your walk with the Lord, you should be spiritual because it's where you really want to be, because you want to be with the Lord. I mean, initially when we start to walk with the Lord, we go through all the motions and we're diligent about it, and when we're young in the Lord. But if you still got to like force yourself into fellowship with God, then you got to look at your relationship. If you have to force yourself, sit down. Because initially, the initial stage is when you're determined to obey God. That's a good thing. But as you get older, if you've got to sit down and force yourself to read, and you're just reading to get through it, then I think you got to sit down and really think about, what is this? Where's this relationship going? Here's a good idea. How would my wife feel if I treated her like? How would my wife feel if I just sat there and listened to her just for the sake of listening so I can get up and go somewhere else? And we've all done that, you know. A good indication of your relationship with the Lord is your relationship with your wife. How is that going? We have to take the time. And if you remember, we all have time. We really do. We just fool ourselves saying, I don't have time for this. You have time for Him. But the majority of us waste time, and then we want to encroach on eternity. We say things like, well, when I have time, I'll get to it. I don't know. I think, no offense to anybody here, okay? I don't think this is going to kill anybody. What if you skipped one meal and spent that time in deep meditation in God's Word, praying and sitting with Him? What if you just skipped one meal? One meal a day. Deny yourself. That's one of the things that I find. The more I deny myself and spend time with Him, I'm getting blessed in other ways that food or TV or radio or anybody else could never make up. I think the only time that we're going to have time is the day after we're dead, and then you're going to have all eternity anyway. So if you take an hour, if you took a half an hour of daily attention to meditation for your spiritual life, it's if you really cultivate your prayer life, if you really cultivate that meditation time, it's the secret of progress. The world thinks otherwise. You know, I got to work another day, I got to work some extra time, I got to do this, I got to do that. The difference, as you guys know, between Christian meditation and what we know as Eastern meditation is the Christian meditation always involves deeply sitting and thinking and meditating on God's Word. God's Word. And I know you guys know this. Seeking deeper insights into God's Word. Let's turn, look at Psalm 1 for a second. And I'm not going to make this very long. Psalm 1's a great psalm. These things are in the Word, and we know they're in the Word, but are we really treating them like they're really truthful things? Like, do we really spend the time? I guess is the thing I'm asking. If you look at Psalm 1, it says, blessed, or blessed, meaning how happy. How happy is this guy? This man is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Are you listening? Are you getting any counsel from anybody who's ungodly? You know, when you're really in trouble, when something's going wrong, who do you go to? You know, do you go to the Lord first? Do you go to someone who's a Christian? Someone who knows the Word of God? Are you going to a pastor or an elder or whatever? Someone, a fellow brother? Do you go to a lawyer or a doctor maybe? You know, I mean, I don't know. Where do you go? Are you seeking counsel from ungodly people? This guy doesn't stand in the way of sinners. No, he doesn't go over and hang out with them. He's not standing with them. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, that's sitting in the seat of the scornful is like you go over and you actually sit down and you agree with these people that aren't godly. You know, you actually sit with them and give them the idea that, yep, I'm agreeing with your opinions and stuff. And you either don't let them know you're a Christian, or you do let them know you're a Christian, and you sit there and you let them voice their opinions. You're looking to them like you agree with it. But Psalm 1 verse 2 says that the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And you know what? This is the only thing that is really, really going to feed your spirit. Meditating on His Word, spending time with Him, letting Him speak to your heart. This guy thinks about God's Word all day. Actually, Psalm 63:6 says, this guy reflects on God Himself even in bed. It says, when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. I'll tell you what, some of the times the Lord spoke to me the loudest was when I woke up in the middle of the night. And you know, our thing is, oh, I got to get back to bed. I got to get up for work. I got to get up earlier. Why am I awake? What's going on? You know what? Did you ever try this? Lord, what do you want? Did you wake me up? Is there something you want to show me? Or is there something you want to tell me? I always have a Bible close to the bed. There's been times where I woke up and He gave me Galatians 7. And I'm like, There's no Galatians 7. And it's me. But sometimes I'll sit there and it's like, he does want to show me something. And maybe he's going to show you something in the Word that is going to really affect the day that's coming up. Maybe he's going to warn you about the day that you're going to have or some situation that's going to come up. David, who wrote this, meditated on God in the middle of the night. When he woke up in the middle of the night, he thought it was another time to meditate on God. Psalm 77:12 speaks of meditating on God's works, the works of God, and then talking about them too. I think this all makes us consider what our responsibility is and what our response should be too. Paul in 1 Timothy 4:15 says this. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto these things, that thy profiting may appear to all. You know, I like that. Think about this. He's saying if we meditate on this stuff, you're going to grow in such a way that people are going to see it. You're going to profit, just like it says in Joshua. You're going to prosper, but the profiting may appear to all. You have people saying, you know, there's something different about you, or what is it about you? You know, in Acts chapter 4, they noticed, they could tell that the apostles had been with Jesus. And on the surface, we're thinking, yeah, they spent 3 years with Jesus. But I think those guys spent time with Jesus that morning in prayer. Jesus is in heaven now. This is in Acts. This is after the resurrection. They could tell that these apostles had been with Jesus. And as I read into that, yeah, sure, they ministered with him for 3 years. But I believe that it also means that they spent time with Jesus that very day in his presence. That can be you too. People can, they may not come up to you, run up to you and say, oh, I can tell you've been in Jesus' presence. I really doubt that. But there will be something different about you if you do spend time in Jesus' presence. Anyways, Eastern meditation, again, it involves ceasing to think and emptying your mind. I don't know about you guys. Last thing I want to do is empty my mind. I don't think there's enough in there. I'm afraid I'm not going to get it all back. I can't spare it. But Eastern meditation is a prelude to possession. The mind goes blank. You hate to think of what could come rushing in. Now, if you're born again, you're not going to be possessed or anything. A guy like that can enter into an altered state of consciousness. So meditation, as you know, it's all about God's Word. For us, we should only allow the Holy Spirit to have that kind of control. Nothing else. Talking to a guy last night who's having a hard time things, and he still likes to drink, and he says, I wish it was more of a social drinking. He said, sometimes I get a little bit more into it than that. And you know, the whole thing is you're starting to let something else take control of you if you're doing that. The only thing that should have control of you is the Holy Spirit. That's it. We need to meditate on God's Word. We need to be built up. You know, the other thing we need to do is think about what you've done in a day, too. And what I mean by that, what's an acceptable sacrifice? You know, in Romans chapter 12, Paul speaks of, you know, let your body be sacrificed unto God. Yourself, your own self. Deny yourself, die to self. Let your body be the presentation of a sacrifice unto the Lord. So I think our question, what if you sit down at the end of the day and you think about this, you think, what was my daily offering? What did I give to God today? Genesis chapter, we're going through Genesis. And when we went through Genesis 4, this struck me. Genesis 4:4 says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel brought the best to the Lord. He brought choice offerings that God accepted. On the other hand, Cain, he didn't bring offerings that God accepted. Cain, I believe, thought in his mind, I'm giving the best of my trade, the work of my hands to the Lord. But it's not what the Lord said was a proper offering. No, he thought, well, I'm bringing the best of my fruits and vegetables. Well, God is saying, well, that's not what an acceptable sacrifice is. But if we consider this, we can see that God wants our best, but it's got to be his way too. He wants quality in our offerings, whether it's time or whether it's devotion or whether it's worship or it's service. So the question is my sacrifice acceptable to him? You know, at the end of the day, what would he say? Was my sacrifice acceptable to you today, Lord? I guess what I'm thinking is, how's our start to the day and how's our end of the day? It's going to greatly affect the whole middle of the day. Spend the time meditating, and at the end of the day, are we asking him, was my sacrifice acceptable? It's going to change your whole day. You have to ask yourself, at the end of the day, can I say that it was an acceptable sacrifice? And can I say that I had one day like that, or that every day? I can't be like Cain, or we can't be like Cain and do it our own way, because that's what religion is, if you think about it. Religion is man's way, or man thinking that his way is just as good or better. And God wants my love, and he wants a personal relationship. When I think of a relationship with Jesus, I think of my wife. How does my wife really want me to treat her? It's not going through the motions. It's not talking to her once in a while. It's not treating her like, yeah, you're there. You're not going anywhere. How is my relationship with him? You know, I remember when I taught the kids, I said, if Jesus is in you and he goes everywhere you do, where do you take him? What does he see? What does he have to listen to? What is all that, right? And then if he was a guy, if he was your buddy, would you take your buddy with you and ignore him most of the day? Let's say Tim and I went to the movies, and then we went to the beach, and then we went to the mall, and then we came back here, but we didn't talk at all that whole time. It'd be pretty rude on both our part. And I thought, don't we treat Jesus like that a lot too? We take him everywhere we go, he's always with us, but we don't talk to him that much. For the kids, it blew their mind when I said that to them. They're like, wow, I'm ignoring Jesus. One other thing, when I was a young Christian, one pastor got me one day, and I'll never forget this. He sat me down after men's prayer and he said, as you grow in the Lord, ask yourself, what was my motive? Why did I do that? What was your motive in doing that? What was your motive in saying that? What was your motive, your motive, your motive? And I realized that as I really started thinking about what my motives were, it changed how I behaved, because 9 times out of 10 at that point, my motives were all self. My motives were all selfish. My motives were all me. I remember the Lord took away smoking and drinking and drugs. I mean, in one big swoop, and all these other things. And I started thinking of all these things that I had accomplished. Then I started admitting things that I still clung to. And one of the things I said was, well, at least I'm not selfish. And the Lord said, oh yeah? And he showed me that I was the most selfish person that I've ever known. What's your motive? You know, and usually it's going to be self. And so we got to give our best. But the one last thing, let's close with this. Look at Jeremiah 48. Jeremiah 48:10. Now some people might say I'm taking this a little bit out of context. I don't think so, because sometimes God's word will speak to us in a lot of different ways. I see it like this. I've taught it like this before. I don't know, it ministered to me in this way. Jeremiah 48:10 says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Now, deceitfully literally means negligently. Negligently is the opposite of diligently. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. So, otherwise, if you're not seeking him diligently, does that mean you're negligent? Wouldn't that mean you're deceitful? That put a whole new light on it for me. I shared with somebody last night, I think it was Paul's wife. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee one day. He was sharing 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation in Christ. So I'm driving in the car. He says, you're a new creation in Christ, aren't you? And I'm sitting there and I go, yeah. And he goes, are you doing any of the old things? And he's pausing like he's talking to me, you know? And I just went, yeah. And he goes, then maybe you're not born again. And I thought, it was like he was really talking to me, you know? And at that point, it hammered me. Like, why am I doing any old things if I'm a new creation? Here, I thought, then if I'm not being diligent, I'm negligent. So does that mean that it's deceit? Something to think about. And the second part of this verse is, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Now, this part, in teaching it this way, it might be a little out of context, but I still think it fits. I think that means get in the battle. Use the sword of the Spirit. Get it bloody. Are you really using your Bible? Are you really in it? And then can you use it? A sword, if you're in an army, your sword's going to get blood on it. Is your sword getting blood on it? Is it? Are you taking it out and using it? And I don't mean going out and hacking people to death. I mean, are you ready to pull it out when it's necessary? Is there blood on your sword? So, you know, I pray that the Lord helps us to see him so clearly, because when we do, we want to give him the first things. We want to give him the best thing. And I pray that he helps us to spend more quality time with him. I really do. And that our whole day becomes an acceptable sacrifice unto him. You know, and I really do. I'm praying that for all our guys, all you guys. Is our life an acceptable sacrifice to him? Are we giving our lives to him? You know, I mean, he's our Lord. He's our God. He's our Redeemer. And I believe what we're in, whether we know it or not, it's a battle. I know you guys know it's a battle. And I'm praying, equip us, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. You know, let's pray. Let's pray that right now. Let's pray. Lord, we do. We know we're in a battle. We know that our enemy is very present. There's a very present danger, Lord. Our enemy, the God of this world. Lord, we are in a battle. We pray for your equipping, for your enabling. We pray, Lord, you would help us to have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, using the shield of faith, having our loins girt with truth, using the sword of the Spirit. We have armor, and we also have an offensive weapon. Help us not to be offensive, but Lord, help us to get our swords bloody because we're using it, and then we're taking it out there. And like Psalm 77, we're not only meditating on your works, but we're telling people about them too. I pray that we at the end of the day would say, yes, Lord, or you would say to us, yes, your sacrifice was acceptable because you gave your best. And Lord, I know this isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, to be great Christian man, this strong Christian man, but through your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, we can do all things, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and I pray, Father, that you would have us asking continually to be being filled with your Holy Spirit. May we get in the battle. We know that you're our defense. You're our shield, Lord. You're the one who fights for us. Lord, you're a man of war. And Lord, one day you're going to come and you're going to defeat all your enemies. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use us, Lord, to witness to people and reduce the number of enemies, Lord. I pray, Lord, you put people in our paths who desperately need you, and we'd pull our sword out and just share, Lord, what you've done in our lives. And may our lives be acceptable unto you, Lord, our God, our Redeemer. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. And just bless these guys, Father, in their marriages, their jobs, their homes, their walks with you. May they be good witnesses. Thank you for these guys, Lord. I love these guys, and I know you do too. In Jesus' name we pray.